As more givers are donating in non-traditional ways, is your church prepared for the next wave of generosity? Get practical insights and biblical encouragement today with our special guest, Dr. Jeffrey Steed of the Southern Baptist of Texas Foundation.
Informing, encouraging, and supporting your church, you're listening to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast from ECFA.
Hey everyone, and thanks for joining us today on the Excellence in Church Administration podcast. This is your host, Michael Martin from ECFA. Well, hey, for all of us that are in this world of church administration, I know that one of the greatest privileges that we have is to help our churches be good stewards of the generosity of those that give to help support the cause of Christ and the local church. So I'm really looking forward to today's podcast as we welcome my friend, Dr. Jeffrey Steed from the Southern Baptist of Texas Foundation, which is one of our great ECFA members, to talk about what he's seeing in the world of generosity and specifically in this area of special, different kinds of gifts, non-traditional gifts. And what I love about Jeff is that he not only holds important academic credentials in the area of finance, but he also has his master's and his doctoral degrees in ministry and really has a heart to help encourage churches and givers from a biblical perspective in the area of generosity. So, Jeff, we are so glad to have you with us on the podcast today. Thanks again for joining us.
Very much an honor. Been looking forward to being a part.
Wonderful. Well, hey, I know that with you today, being here as our guest, there's really a lot of different things that we could talk about. But as I mentioned earlier, I think one of the areas that I'd just love for you to comment on is this trend that we've been seeing at ECFA. I'm sure you've been seeing it across the charitable sector as well. And that is just in the past few years, we've seen a rise of just these special different kinds of gifts, non-cash gifts. And I think especially as it relates to maybe some of the higher net worth givers as well. And so I think it's just increasingly become important for churches to understand this area and to have, you know, kind of wrap our brains around it and have a strategy. So maybe just to help us set the stage here as we get started, what can you tell us about some of the types of special gifts that are out there that givers can donate to benefit a church or a ministry beyond traditional cash gifts?
Yeah, there's some great opportunities to benefit the Lord's work for somebody's church or whatever ministry that they wanted to help. And a lot of instruments that people aren't real familiar with. You know, oftentimes when we think of giving, we automatically think cash, like what's in my bank account that I can give. But they're about 91% of what we have are non-cash gifts. And so so as far as special gifts, non-cash gifts are part of that, as well as estate gifts. And then there's some special types of charitable trust and gift annuities and some other instruments as well. But the whole concept of plain giving, again, there's some great opportunities to give beyond the checkbook through some of these different types of instruments.
Yeah, that's good. And that really kind of helps us kind of paint that picture and understand some of those different forms that are out there. What can you tell us, too, about some of the advantages specifically for donors that are interested in giving some of those different kinds of non-cash gifts now?
Yeah, and so talking about non-cash gifts, and if it's okay, I'll kind of give you some examples of some of those. So then we'll kind of talk about some advantages and why people should consider it. But appreciated assets, okay, those are non-cash assets that we have in which we they're worth more than what we paid for them, okay? So if an individual, like I had a guy call me a while back, he said, Jeff, I have this stock that God's really blessed me with it, and I'm going to go out and sell it, and I'm going to give that money to my church. And I said, you don't want to do that. What you want to do is give that stock directly to that ministry, and which can bypass the capital gains tax, and I'll talk more about that. But so what we're talking about is some of these non-cash assets, again, that have appreciated in value. And so, for example, it could be stocks, bonds, real estate, you know, like farms or timberland. It could be mineral interest. And there's other, you know, different types of assets as well, non-cash assets that can be beneficial toward the Lord's work. And so, you know, some of those different types of assets like that can be given outright to ministries, you know, like your church. They can be given to an endowment to where endowments are perpetual. So what happens is an asset is given to an endowment, let's say the John and Mary Smith Family Endowment. Okay, so that asset, that farm or whatever the case may be, goes into the endowment. And it is the income off of that every year that then goes to that church or other ministry. So you can give these type of assets outright to an endowment, or thirdly, to a donor advised fund. And I'm sure many listening to the podcast are familiar with donor advised funds, but because they've really gained a lot of popularity, they're really neat instrument from the standpoint of an asset goes into it. It's either sold and produces income, or just simply could be producing income by itself, you know, if it's a farm, for example. But what happens with these donor advised funds is basically donors give money to it now, get a tax deduction now. Basically, they literally get a charitable receipt from that charity, and then they advise later what it's going to benefit, you know, like your church or whatever ministry. And of course, what we're talking about is kind of beyond the tithe scenario. But again, some ways, different types of assets, stocks, bonds, real estate, mineral interest, and so forth, can be given outright, can be given to an endowment for perpetual income, or to a donor advised fund in which those assets can be beneficial towards ministry later. There might be some folks asking, why would you want to do that? Why not just give cash? And it's like the example of the individual I brought up a while ago that had a stock gift. When you and I give an appreciated asset, again, an asset that's worth more today than what we paid for it, when we give that directly to a charity, like a church, basically what happens is you bypass the capital gains tax, okay? And you get a full tax deduction on it now. And so it's kind of icing on the cake. You know, you bypass capital gains tax, plus you get a charitable receipt, basically for the asset given. And so that's a great way. Non-cash assets are a great way as far as giving a special gift that can help with some tax implications and then also benefit the kingdom now. And so some great ways to give special gifts in that way.
That's perfect. So, yeah, you really hit on there's some special benefits depending on the types of gifts, which is great. And then there's also seems like a lot of, you know, different types of flexibility that can come with that as well. So no, that's really, really helpful. Want to move in here, kind of take it to the next level. And another question, Jeff, would be, you know, for those that are out there, maybe they're givers themselves that are kind of interested in making some of these gifts, or church leaders that are ministry leaders that are out there, logistically, can you tell us a little bit about how this works when a church or ministry would like to facilitate some of these different special types of gifts?
Sure, absolutely. So talking on the logistics, like how do you make it happen related to these type of special gifts? So there are various, a lot of times churches aren't set up to take on a farm or to take on, you know, mineral interest or that type of thing. And so there are various Christian-based foundations around the nation, some very good foundations around the nation that really help facilitate this. And that's part of what we do at the Southern Baptist of Texas Foundation. We also receive gifts on behalf of what donors want to accomplish for ministry. And so these foundations kind of lead folks through that process in receiving those assets. And you might ask, you know, what happens after that? You know, as far as how does that benefit that ministry, like your church, through giving that asset to a foundation? Well, a foundation, for example, scenarios I've dealt with over the years in dealing with these types of gifts, basically we'll first off work with that ministry. So let's say that a donor, you know, John and Mary Smith, they want to benefit their church with some mineral interest. What we would typically do, and I believe most of our other foundations around the nation, Christian base, would do the same thing, is they'd work with that charity, that ministry, and say, okay, what would you like for us to do? Do you want us to sell those assets and just simply send you a check to benefit that particular ministry? Or do you want us to manage it and send the income to you periodically, let's say every quarter, for you to use? And so So let's say that someone was had a farm, for example, a family farm, and it was no longer, you know, there was interest in the family in farming it. Well, that farm could be given to benefit, let's say, somebody's church or another ministry. And again, a foundation, a Christian-based foundation would typically, again, work with that church or whatever ministry that that donor wants to benefit. But so, you know, again, they'd ask him, okay, do you want to sell it and just send you a check? Or what could happen is that farm or mineral interest or whatever the case may be, it could go on producing income perpetually. And basically, you know, from the foundation standpoint, most foundations can manage a farm or have the resources to do that. And so basically we manage it and then literally send checks to that ministry perpetually, let's say every quarter. So there's some flexibility in there, and the donor can always, you know, they can give you preferential language, you know, to the charity, saying I'd prefer it not be sold, but they can't tie the hands of the charity. That's otherwise there's some IRS issues there, and so, but that's kind of from a logistic standpoint. That's kind of how it works. Again, typically through a foundation. There are some larger ministries and larger churches out there that could probably take on a farm or some of these special types of assets. But a lot of times they will go through a Christian-based foundation, you know, to accomplish that and to kind of help them with the logistics and the charitable seating and all of that. So they're definitely set up to help and facilitate those.
Right. So I think, in other words, what you're saying is, you know, you guys as a foundation or others that are out there, you're really in the business of saving a lot of headaches. Right?
Well, you know, that's part of it. And there's some system. Most Christian-based foundations, at least larger ones, they've got the systems in place to efficiently handle these type of gifts as well, and to take care of all the tax side of it and so forth and the tax forms. And so, but yes, privilege for Christian-based foundations to be able to do that, you know, because they know the underlying impact to that ministry that's going to benefit, whether it's a church or, you know, whatever ministry. And by the way, one thing, you know, I'll bring up as well is, you know, a donor may want to benefit various ministries. You know, they want to, in fact, a lot of times I work with folks and they have, you know, multiple ministries. They want to benefit their church, but there's some other ministries that they have had a passion for while they're living. And you know, so some of these gifts, especially working through a Christian-based foundation, it can actually benefit various ministries they want to help, not just one.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, and all of what you've kind of talked about, Jeff, too, is really kind of a tie into another question that, you know, I know we get a lot here at ECFA, and I know as really an expert in this area and the director of planned giving at the foundation that you serve in, is, you know, a lot of Christians givers really want to, you know, when they're thinking about stewardship from a whole life kind of standpoint, is, you know, they're curious about how do they incorporate really some of their values into their estate plans and impact the kingdom, you know, even on down the road. So can you tell us a little bit about what you see there and how can folks accomplish that?
You know, in dealing with the whole idea of special gifts that can benefit the kingdom, you know, again, we talked about the non-cash gifts, but estate gifts through wills are a very powerful way, an impactful way that can help various ministries. And so one of the things I do as a director of plain giving here at the foundation, I work with folks one-on-one a lot. And, you know, one of the questions I ask people to think about is to think about their values in life, okay, thus far. And sometimes I just pause and ask them to think about that and to kind of get those values in their mind, at least the big ones, right? And, you know, for most Christians, the top two values, and it's probably at the tip of your tongue as well, but it's God and family. Those are the top two values, hands down, that individuals tend to have and as believers. And so when I'm working with folks through kind of the estate planning process and so forth, you know, and I'm reminding them that their last will and testament, another word for testament is testimony. So our literally our last testimony on this earth will be read when we pass away one day. And, you know, I encourage people, whatever their values are in life. So if God and family are those values, I would encourage people to somehow reflect those values in that last testimony of what's important to them. And, you know, part of part of a foundation, Christian-based foundation ministry, is really helping individuals through that process. And when they want to leave a legacy to basically to God and family, you know, there's some really effective and easy ways to do that through estate plans, and that can benefit their church potentially now as well as later, later down the road when they pass away. And I have a past local pastor friend here, then he calls it changing addresses, you know, as believers, you know, and one of these days when we change addresses, you know, into heaven, you know, what's the impact? What's the legacy? What's the testimony that we'll leave behind based upon what we have valued in life?
Yeah, I love that. That is so good. I've never thought about that before with testimony really being another word for testament. I think that's great. Just thinking too, Jeff, kind of transitioning, you know, we're talking a lot about from the giver's perspective, maybe from a church or ministry leader's perspective, you know, they're hearing, or refreshing kind of some of the things that they've heard before about these different kinds of gifts. You know, what are some really practical ways that churches and ministries can help educate their givers, their constituents, about some of these ways to give beyond cash or some of the traditional means?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, one of the questions I get periodically in working with, because we work with donors directly, right, related to special gifts, but we also work heavily with churches and other ministries and kind of being a support system, you know, for plan giving or special gifts. And, you know, so sometimes I have training or conversation in working with church leaders, other ministry leaders, and you know, we explain some different ways that people can leave special gifts. But the question I get often is, okay, Jeff, this is great, you know, great to know, but how in the world does the typical person in the pew ever find out about this, right? And so one of the most important key factors of some of the most successful plan giving efforts in the nation related to ministries or large or churches, that key factor is consistent messaging. Constantly providing some content. A lot of the ministries and churches we work with, they will have every month in their e-newsletter, maybe a worship folder, whatever the case may be, just some soft touch on different types of plan gifts. You know, usually, in fact, the foundation, Southern Baptist Texas Foundation, we actually provide some free content every month that churches and other ministries can use. Our name does not have to be on it. They can use it however they want to, but it's real simple content. It's usually two or three sentences. And it's, again, often the bullet point in a newsletter or worship folder or whatever the case may be, a website. And it's just different ways of letting their folks, their constituents know, different ways they can benefit the kingdom through way beyond just the checkbook. And so, you know, that's something, you know, if any of the participants listening would like that, we'd be very honored to provide that. And, my email is jsteed@sbtexasfoundation.com. That's jsteed@sbtexasfoundation.com. Or you can call us at 844-351-8804, 844-351-8804. And we're just glad to provide it. And, you know, we're a ministry that's at the heart of what we do. And part of what we're trying to do is just simply raise the bar related to educating believers, Christians, on how they can benefit the Lord's work in some way now or later. And so part of the way that a ministry can start incorporating some of this content into some of their messaging is just having it in there maybe once a month. And, you know, that is so, so important, that consistent messaging. And, you know, it's a matter of planting seeds of information, right? And then allowing God to work as he may on the hearts of his people. And so that's a very critical area, just trying to get it in the communication pipeline of ministries.
Perfect. Well, thanks for those insights so much. And I'm so glad that you did. That was going to be one of my questions for you too, Jeff, was just, you know, how do folks stay in touch with you? And I can testify that I'm on that group that receives those updates from you guys, and just so appreciate those, the Texan Legacy and others. And it is great material and great content. So I just commend that to everyone that's listening and do encourage folks to get in touch with you. So thanks again, Jeff, for all those insights that you've shared and all that you're doing to advance the Lord's work.
Appreciate that. Appreciate it very much.
Well, good. Well, hey, as we close out the podcast here, I do want to just quickly highlight, too, some of the really practical tools that we have here at ECFA to help our listeners, your churches with gift administration, and specifically non-cash gifts that we've been talking about today. One of our latest ebooks is The 7 Essentials of Non-Cash Gift Administration, and it's free to ECFA members and just $9.99 for other churches on the resources page at ecfa.church. And if you really want to take a deep dive into non-cash and other gifts, be sure to also check out The Guide to Charitable Giving for Churches and Ministries by ECFA. This is an over 300-page guide that is a practical, comprehensive resource that's designed to help you not just avoid we talked about some of the different IRS issues. We just touched on that briefly today. This book will help you avoid some of those common pitfalls when it comes to charitable gift regulations, but really to even take it to another level and to handle these issues with the utmost excellence and integrity. You can search for The Guide to Charitable Giving on ecfa.church or on amazon.com. Well, thanks again to everyone for joining us today. We hope that this time has really been informative, that it's been a blessing to you. And at any point, we'd love for you to submit your questions and ideas for the podcast. You can do that by emailing us anytime at podcast@ecfa.org. Well, God bless you, and we look forward to being with you again soon for another Excellence in Church Administration podcast.